So this morning, I'm going to invite Mark and Michael to come on up. They're going to take a few moments, give us a little update about some things going on in Kenya. And then when we're done, they're going to, microphone, oh, right there. Mark and Linda Haugen and Michael are going to take our kids out and spend some time with them. And so it's going to be a great opportunity. So why don't you give them your attention for a few moments.
Chad mentioned that we can't imagine what we can't imagine. And I was sitting near the back where Charles is a little over 32 years ago, and I couldn't imagine the journey that God has had us on since then. Last week in one of the services, Josh made a simple statement that was profound. He said, just say yes to God. That's the start. And there's a promise in Psalm 2 that says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Neither Linda or I could have imagined what God has done because we just simply said yes. God has opened doors that no man could open in Russia, Ukraine, Kenya, and surrounding countries. And Michael has been a big part of that. We've known Michael and his family for over 25 years. His father, at the age of 17, was healed by the Lord of tuberculosis. His father dedicated his life to the Lord at that point. And he will be 80 years old this year. Michael accepted the Lord at age 17. And he has dedicated his life to the Lord. And Linda and I have been blessed to be in partnership with their ministry, which touches thousands upon thousands of lives in Kenya. His father, over that period of time, has planted over 300 churches in Kenya, Uganda, and Tanzania, and it's my pleasure to introduce to you this morning, Michael Bashebe. Yes.
So sorry. I didn't know I have a loud voice. I usually try to speak softly. My name's Michael Bashebe. We are friends with the Hargreaves, and it has taken a while for us to keep doing what we are doing, but I want to thank God because they have been very encouraging. Some of the things that I've had to go through, I struggled for many years because I got exposed to North America over 20 years ago. In 1997, that's the first time for me to step into North America in Canada, in a cold country. I come from a very hot country. I like to say I come from a country that is called the country of the Lion King. I come from where Simbas are. Simba is Swahili for lion. It's a country that you can also have Rafiki, which is a friend. Just because I come from a country that has Simbas, I have a Rafiki, so because of Rafiki, hakuna matata. All that is Swahili. Hakuna matata means there is no worries, no problems in Swahili. So the Lord has taken us on a journey, and I'm very thankful to be here. Thank you, Pastor Jeff, for allowing us to do this. Together with the Hargens, the Lord has led us. You know, the church as we are, we need to look at ourselves as not just the church. We are in a position where I call the training center. This is a training center. This is not your mission field. We are supposed to break out of this place and do something where one of the dear ladies read and said, we are gates and doors of the heavenly purposes. So they flow through us. So while we are getting trained here, we go out there and do what we are supposed to do. The approach is for the church to have a holistic approach to what the gospel is about. It's not just about preaching and getting people saved and slain in the spirit and we leave them there. We have to go a step further. And that's where the combination of an engineer and a preacher kid comes in. Because with the purposes that God has for us in Africa, over 300 congregations that my parents started even before I was born, God took us another level to where we had to leave the four walls and go out there, get even orphans, start orphanages, building orphanages, get out there and create opportunities for people to be able to do something, build schools, build medical centers where we can provide not only the medical services, but also we can be able to pray for people and see the miracles of God. And so this morning, I don't want to take much of the time. We've been given a very limited time, which I don't take it for granted. It's a very timely opportunity for me. I just want to say, for us, as we continue to do this, we are walking a journey. It's not the end of it. We are in the middle of that journey. And as the Lord continues to work through us, building the medical centers and the churches and the schools and the orphanages, we invite everybody who has a calling to come and partner with us and continue to walk the journey with us. You don't have to do it under Gospel Believers Fellowship, which is the parent ministry of my parents, but wherever the Lord leads you, that's where you are supposed to do. And so, in conclusion, I just want to tell you, continue to pray for us. Continue to pray for the Hargans as they even consider and prayerfully want to take the journey of physically traveling to Africa to stand with us in the work the Lord has. So this morning, we are going to talk also to kids. I'm having another speaking engagement at the Juvenile Correction Center. So if I was just a person who thought I was called to preach the gospel in Africa, I'd be comfortable in Africa. But because I have been sent and I said yes to the calling, I can go wherever the Lord leads me. And when you see me standing there worshiping and my hand is in my pocket, it doesn't mean I'm just comfortable and that's a swag I'm divining. When I do that, my hands are cold. This country gets cold. And so I'm trying to warm them up while I worship. And I say, help me, Lord, because, you know, in my country, it never gets below 70, all year round. And so when God takes me from there to here, you might think, oh, man, he came from a poor country. He's here. What do you think? He should be enjoying. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. For me to be able to be here in your cold weather, I just thank God. But I appreciate that with all that, God is able, just like Josh said, that it's not by might or strength, it's by his spirit. I believe we are able to do what God called us because of his spirit. In Romans, I want to conclude by saying in Romans chapter 12, when you read verses 4, it says, for as we have many members in the body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then the gift, because it's talking about the gifts in Romans 12. It's also talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit's gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's talking about the fivefold ministries in Ephesians chapter 4. It's not saying that those gifts and ministries are just supposed to sit comfy in these comfy chairs. We have to serve. And we have to go beyond our borders to the nations. You are familiar with the seven mountains of the society. I'm glad here you have eight. I saw them in one of the rooms. God is calling us to break out and do something for him, for his glory. So be blessed. Thank you very much. I would like to pray, and I'm going to pray in Swahili. You know, in Swahili, from where I come from, it's where you have baba, mama, dada, kaka, and after you pronounce all those four words, you have what we call family. Because baba is father, mama is mother, Dada is sister, kaka is brother. And so you have a family. So if you can't remember me by the names, just say the brother who has a dada, kaka, mama, baba. And that's good. In your prayer. Father, we thank you. Katika jina la Yesu nasimama mbele ya watu wako. Nauliza ukuu wako, nauliza mkono wako, nauliza baraka zako. I speak a blessing over this church. Thank you for the opportunity, Father, to stand in this nation. A nation that was founded on the principles of the gospel. Father, we call in the ministers of the gospel. We call in every member of the body that you've called in this place. Father, we say, as we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to enable us, empower us to break forth and go out and do the miracles and do the exploits that you've called us to do. Father, we humbly say, here we are, send us. We are ready to go. We break forth and bring the fruit for your glory, not for our own good, for the good of the kingdom. Bring healing upon your church. Bring revival upon your church. Let your Holy Spirit be released to fill your people, to baptize your people, and to even empower your people to go forth and do what you have for them. Father, we thank you for this connection. We thank you for the church as one body globally. You are the head, and we will not be defeated. The enemy is under our feet. In Jesus' name, we are victorious and mighty because the Holy Spirit is doing this through us. In Jesus' name, we pray and believe. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. So kids, what kids do we got in the room? Yeah, come on down. Come on up, guys. We're going to send you guys out right through the door there. Let's pray for them. I know they're a little shy this morning. They're like, wait, what? We get to leave? Yes.
12 and under.
Yeah, 12 and under. I mean, did you guys, girls want to go? No. 12 and under. Awesome. There's a few here. There's a few coming down the stairs. Yes, awesome. Would you join with me? Because you just got a little taste of Michael, and the kids are going to get a whole lot more. So, amen. So, Lord, we thank you right now for the anointing and the grace that is in this moment. Father, we thank you for these children as you impart into them right now and activate, Lord, a vision for the nations. Father, a call to go, an activation of faith to step out, Lord. Even as young as they are, Lord, we thank you that there is a movement in this generation, Lord, in this group right here, right now, that is like planting seeds, and that, Lord, you will be faithful to harvest in the days to come. And so we bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Awesome. Be blessed. You guys can follow them right on out. Thank you, Jesus. What a sweet treat that was. Grab your Bibles, grab your journals. We're going to welcome Jennifer Pelletier this morning. Come on up.
Good morning. Gosh, with worship and having Michael here, I just feel very, very full. I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm feeling very full. So thank you. It's always an honor and a super big treat whenever I get to share. And several months ago, I was visiting with Mike and Jeff, and I was just telling them, I'm like, I don't really think I'm a teacher. You know, when I give up, I don't really think I'm a teacher. I think I'm a messenger. And, you know, Jeff was like, well, what do you mean by that? I'm like, I feel like when I get up here on a Sunday, I have a word from the Lord, and it's about preparation, it's about positioning, and it's about aligning. And it usually comes, typically when I share on a Sunday, it comes with, you know, let's just spend some time just repenting and asking the Lord to search our hearts, and so that we can have restoration unto righteousness, that we can have actually right thinking. So this morning, with this message, I'm just going to give to you where I felt like the Lord had given me. If he can intertwine it in any way for you, that is beautiful. And if you feel like there's some open ends, that's okay too. And I'm okay with that. So just thank you for being here. It's always an honor to share with you. So I know some of you always enjoy when I have some jokes. So I do have some new jokes this morning that I wanted to share with you. And when I found this one, I thought of Jerry. So where do you learn, and I kind of just gave the punchline away, I realize that, but where do you learn to make a banana split? Sunday school? All right. Okay, so this one I really liked. What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? Supplies! All right. So where do boats go when they're sick? To the boat dock. Yeah, I know. Okay, so these are just, I'm going to share two wise sayings that I want you to think about. I don't trust those trees. They seem kind of shady. All right, well, that one didn't go as well. Okay, what about this one? I also don't trust stairs. They're always up to something. Okay, that one went a little better. Okay, this is my last one. And did you hear the rumor about butter? Yeah, did that rumor about butter. Well, I'm not going to spread it. All right, so let's just pray. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you. I thank you for these beautiful people that are here this morning. Lord, I thank you for ears. If you just want to put your hand over your ears. So, Lord, I just bless these ears. I bless these beautiful ears. Lord, that this morning that we are going to hear with great clarity. We're going to hear the word with revelation, with insight, with great understanding. Lord, I just thank you that we are hearers and doers of the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I thought we could start the summer with something we could do together as a church family. So what I have for us, if you are willing to jump on board, I'm hoping we can all jump on board with this. I have a family summer reading. And so my vision is for us as a family is that we as a family would each read the book of Joshua. There's 24 chapters, and I thought if we would start, you can start sometime this week, we could read the book of Joshua, and if we could read it, there's 24 chapters, so you could easily get it done in 1 month, a chapter a day, and if you have a little spacing between, it's okay. We could actually, by the end of August, we could have actually have read the book of Joshua twice. And for extra bonus, I thought, wouldn't it be so awesome as a family, we actually read the book of Joshua. You have your version of the Bible, whatever you have at home. Maybe you have more than one Bible, but you actually commit to reading it in two different versions. Now, if you don't have a different version of the Bible, if you have your phone, you can always put the Bible app on there and you can get all the versions on there. And I thought, how awesome would it be if we could commit to reading the book of Joshua. And then, if you're able to treat yourself, I just came across, if you're familiar, I often give my messages and I use the Passion Translation by Brian Simmons. And if you're able to treat yourself, on Amazon, he came out with Joshua, Judges, and Ruth for the book of the book of Joshua, it was written in the Passion Translation. So if you're able, if you know someone that has Amazon Prime, so you don't have to pay for shipping. If not, it's not on the Bible app. I've already checked. They did not have that downloaded yet. But if you can, this is actually where I'll be reading some today. But if we could just commit to reading the book of Joshua as a family, I thought it'd be so fun. And then to finalize it, as we read, I actually journal, and I just use a spiral notebook. And so usually you can find them for under $1, and I like it because they lay flat, you know, and I just journal. So if you could just journal each chapter, whatever the questions you have, what you feel like the Lord's showing you, how you could apply those scripture verses in your own life, whatever, Lord. And I thought, how fun would this be if you found two or three other people And you're just like, okay, you know, you could text each other, you could call each other, you could go for a walk and like just discuss, what are you getting out of the book of Joshua? Because it's always more fun, or I'll just say it this way, it's funner if you actually get to share this with someone. So let's have a really fun summer and just go through the book of Joshua and just journal where the Lord is taking you through the book of Joshua. And you know, I don't know if you ever, your parents ever signed you up or you yourself signed your kids up for like the public library reading program. So I was, my mom did it. I did it for years with my kids. And you know, if you met your goal for your week, you get this little coupon. And I thought, how awesome would it be if I could come up with a little coupon? So if you read like all 24 chapters, like I have a coupon, and you can go to McDonald's and get a sweet tea. And then if you like read it twice in a different version, I have another coupon to Taco Bell. You get your chalupa and bean and cheese burrito. And then if you were able, you journal it and you show me, hey, I journaled all the chapters. I'm like, okay, we're doing this, and we're doing it family style. Let's all go to Vasari's, run those big, long tables, bring your journal, and let's just have celebrate as a family with some Vasari's pizza. But I didn't get that far, but I thought, how fun would that be if we like, yeah, you know, we celebrate each other. Yeah, I'm reading the book of Joshua. So, and all of that, I'm just letting you know, I really do want to know where you're at if you're doing this. But I don't want you to feel like I'm abandoning you. You won't see me next month because I'm actually hanging out with the grandparents in San Diego. It's a perfect place if grandparents need to live in San Diego. I think that's awesome. And then we spend the weekends camping. So I will follow up with you in August. So you have the whole month of July, but I know Josh and Tiffany will be on board. And I know there's other ones in here that will be like, you'll just help each other. Thank you, Jerry and Heather. Yeah, you guys will just help each other. Shelly, I know you guys are on board. Just talk to each other. Hey, how's the book of Joshua going? Okay, so I just want to throw that out there. I thought as a family, we can do a summer reading together in the book of Joshua. So super fun. So thank you for that. I do, if you would just allow me to revisit some of the words I've given, just so that I feel like I can kind of help steward those. So last month on the 21st, we had just finished our WOW Women's Conference, and that Sunday morning, the Lord, He gave me a prophetic word to share, and when he gave it to me that Saturday night before I shared it Sunday morning, he said to me very clearly, this is how I want you to say it, Jennifer. And I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. So he goes, I want you to say this. I want you to say, I have a word of the Lord to proclaim. And so actually, I didn't even write it down. I just showed up, and then Jeff actually called me up to share, and then I just gave the word, and that's how it happened. So I went back yesterday on YouTube, and I'm like, I probably should have, I mean, I didn't even write it down. So I'm just going to read it to you what the Lord gave me as I gave the word on the 21st of May. I have a word of the Lord. I want you to receive the word of the Lord. Religion and denominationalism has produced, which produces idols, stagnation, complacency, status quo, and lukewarmness, which Lord vomits out, has come to an end. The women who came and got baptized gave birth to the new. There was a shift, and it will now be forward. A release of the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. I'm proclaiming the word of the Lord. Denominationalism and religion has come to an end. The women are freedom fighters. The women have released the shackles and bondages that have kept us. They have proclaimed liberty and freedom throughout the land. I want you to receive the word of the Lord. You are now free. And if you want to know if I could just steward this word, why Joshua? Because I felt I'm just going to give you some points on Joshua. The first point, In the book of Joshua, it is a new beginning before the children of Israel. They had been under Moses in the wilderness for 40 years. And every day, their food was provided for them. Every day. They didn't even have to think about food. And if they needed water, water was provided. They just wandered for 40 years. They just wandered, lived, served the Lord, and they just, that's what they did for 40 years. There came a point where the Lord said, we are now transitioning, and it will look different. So this book of Joshua, and we can go to the next point, chronicles the transition from wandering in the wilderness to courageous conquerors, who the Lord has always called them to be, and he had always promised them the promised land. And sometimes I think we think, well, why can't they just have it? I mean, the Lord promised it. Why not can they just walk in their promised land and just have what the Lord told them? Well, let me go to the next point. So it's really important as we transition from wandering into being courageous conquerors, we learn the ways of God. We actually get to partner with God Almighty, Yahweh, the great I am, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the Lord Most High. We get to partner with him, and we actually daily get to learn what he's like. So when you read through the book of Joshua, you learn how he moves us forward, how we triumph over our enemies, how we do the impossible, and how we possess all that God has for us. Also in the book of Joshua, it encourages that the promised land is before us, and it takes a faith-filled people to move in and to possess what God has. And there's something as we read through the book of Joshua that all of a sudden our faith will be strengthened. We will be encouraged, and we become these courageous people that we are victorious. We are a victorious people that go in and that we are overcomers, and we possess and we expand the kingdom of God. We go in and we just expand the kingdom. It also answers the questions if idols are a big deal. And I think sometimes we cohabitate. Like, I can serve the Lord and I can have this. Now, I'm not saying that any of us have a golden Nebuchadnezzar sitting in our living room. I'm not saying that, right? That would be kind of, you know, none of us have that. I'm not saying that we have something golden and we bow down to it. But are there idols in our life? And how does the Lord feel about that? And in the book of Joshua, you will actually see the Lord's heart towards that. And the idols, you know, I'm just going to leave it for you to have a conversation with Holy Spirit. And to be really honest with Holy Spirit, and like, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Know me, Holy Spirit. Do I actually have something in here that I place my devotion and my affection on that actually diverts me from you? And there's lots of points, but the last point I have about the book of Joshua is, what does it look like to move in power, passion, and purity? So this is my encouragement to all of us as we join together and we dive in together the book of Joshua. And I realize some of us have maybe read it several times. That's, you know, it's awesome. But I'm really believing for something new, something fresh as we journey together. So my husband has already, he's beat me, he just went through it. So what happened with me is that I read, and then I got to chapter 6, and I'm like, oh, I got to start all over again. So that's my own journey. So I'm back at chapter 1, and I read all the way to chapter 6, and I'm like, oh, I just got to go back again. So, but what I did do, this will kind of let you in on a little bit of my personality, I read the last chapter. I had already, just let you know, I've read Joshua before. This is not like it was new to me, but I just thought, in this season, Lord, so that's where I am. So I read the last chapter, and I'm just going to start on chapter 20, verse, I don't know, sorry, I'm at the point where I kind of need glasses, but I don't really want to wear them. I'm at the end, and I can't read the number because it's too small. So that's where I'm at. So sometime later, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died at the age of 110. They buried him on his own property at Timnath Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. Israel was faithful to serve Yahweh during the lifetime of Joshua and the lifetime of the elders who lived on after Joshua, those who had experienced all the miracles that Yahweh had done for Israel. Completely profound, ending statement of Joshua and the transition and crossing over into new beginnings. So I just leave that with all of us. If you would like to join in the family fun reading this summer. I'm just going to read a couple other points from Joshua. And this is actually, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. But if you have your Bibles, you can definitely open it up. I'm on Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. And I'll just give you a second. If you have your Bible, if you just want to open up to Joshua 3, 1 through 5. Kind of why I felt like the Lord is calling us as a family to go ahead and venture off into the book of Joshua. Joshua was up bright and early the next morning. They broke camp, and Joshua led the Israelites from Acacia to the eastern bank of the Jordan. There they set up camp and waited until they crossed over. After 3 days, the leaders of the people went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. Watch for the priests of the tribe of Levi to lift the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh your God. When it starts moving, follow it so you'll know which way to go, since you've never marched this way before. Yahweh, follow it for about a half mile behind the ark. Don't go near it. Joshua instructed the people, get yourself ready. Set yourselves apart for Yahweh. Tomorrow, Yahweh will perform for us great miracles. And I love how this even starts, because there's that sense back on verse 1. There's a sense of anticipation and excitement. So much of when we read scripture is left to our imagination. But just know, if you are serving Jesus, he sanctified your imagination. You are free to start imagining. Could you imagine a whole generation has now no longer with them, and you have this brand new generation, and Joshua's been called to lead them, and they're going to live entirely different. They're not going to have food provided for them every day. They're actually going to have to go. Okay, I'm sorry, but this morning I started thinking about that. So they're eating manna, and you know how that's translated? What is this? And I was just thinking, like, as a mom, could you imagine, like, your kids never asking you what's for dinner? Like, ever, ever. Because you just sit down and, like, and they're like, Mom, what is this? And they're like, I know it is. What is this? It's manna. Like, kids never had to ask for 40 years. Kids never asked their mom what was for dinner. I started thinking about the simplest things of, like, they were going to eat differently. If you read into Joshua, it talks about how the lands were fertile and the things they would now get to go discover and experience. And that's just so small. So we're talking to people that have only known wandering to now God is calling them to be conquerors. And they're going to see miracles of the Lord. There's a couple of things I want to point out. The Lord, they were given instructions. When it starts moving, follow it. So it's the Ark of the Covenant. It's the Ark of God's presence. Follow it so you'll know which way to go, since you've never marched this way before. I want to encourage you, look where you see the presence of the Lord. Start looking. Where do I see the presence of the Lord? Where is God moving? Because the Lord is saying, you follow where I'm moving, because you have not gone this way before. Do you understand? I can't just say, well, I had a friend that say this to me, que sera, sera, it is what it is. It doesn't work that way anymore in the season we are with the Lord. We have not gone this way before. So keep your eyes, where is the presence of the Lord? And that's the way you go. The second thing the Lord, they were instructed, Joshua gave the instruction, get yourself ready. If I have one thing that's on my heart for this summer, is us as a family to get ourselves ready. Get ourselves ready. I need to get ready. We'll help each other get ready. Get yourself ready. And it says, set yourself apart for Yahweh. There is a separation. There's a setting apart. Now, I want to share, contrast a couple of things of what it could possibly look like. There is a message given when Jehu came on the scene. This is after, I'm in 2 Kings. I'm doing a lot of floating, just stay with me if you can. In 2 Kings, there was a showdown with Elijah. The fire came down. Baal was defeated. Jezebel didn't get the memo that, wait, God Almighty, like, lift up the water. He caught on fire all the sacrifice. Jezebel didn't get the message. She then, creates fear in Elijah. Elijah leaves. He's hidden. And then it's kind of a long story. I'm not going to be very good at paraphrasing. Anyways, Elijah anoints Jehu and says, you'll have a message to give. Jehu goes and gives a message. And then Jezebel is sitting in her balcony window. And by her are eunuchs. Eunuchs have been castrated. They have been rendered powerless. And there is definitely a cutting away. This is not where the Lord looks at us and says, there has to be a cutting away. We are not a powerless people. But the interesting thing about it is, when Jehu gives the message of the Lord, and he gives the message, all of a sudden there's something that rises up within the eunuchs and says, I am not going to live this way anymore. I refuse to live powerless, because that is not who I'm called to be. Jehu only gave the message of the Lord, but who threw down Jezebel? It was the eunuchs. And I look at that and I think, Lord, we are not called to be a powerless people. When we hear the word of the Lord, we are called to be powerful and to move into what the Lord has called us to do. In contrast, in Joshua 5, you have a whole generation that have been waiting for this moment of entering the promised land. The Lord then says, I want you to be a marked people, but this marking is going to look different. And he actually asked this whole generation of men to be circumcised. And there was definitely a cutting away. There was a marking on their body that says, I belong to him. I belong to him. My body's marked and I'm in covenant with him. God does not break his covenant. All of heaven will back me as I serve the Lord God Almighty. Now, obviously, if we look in scripture in the New Testament, the Lord, I'm just going to read this. This is Colossians 2:11. Through our union with him, and we were just talking about the mystery of marriage, of two becoming one. Through our union with him, we have experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and is now extinct because of what Christ, the anointed one, has accomplished through us. Each of our lives should be marked that we belong to Jesus, and that we allow Holy Spirit to come in. That needs to be cut off. That needs to be cut off. That needs to be cut off. And we just live a life of complete surrender and yielding. Holy Spirit, if that actually hinders me from my devotion to Jesus, yeah, deal with it. Just cut it off. So we are to be a people that are marked in covenant with Jesus. The last point I want to make about about Joshua, because all the further I really got this past month was actually Joshua 6. And that was, I think a lot of times when we think in Sunday school, the big climax was Jericho, right? And that was the marching around Jericho. And if you could look, let me just paint a different picture of Jericho. And we understand it's fortified. It's this can be intimidating. It's a safety for the people inside. I want you just to maybe picture it with sometimes with our own mind. Our own mind can be sometimes with our own thinking, our thoughts, our belief systems, our own doctrine. We can actually fortify that thinking so strong that it becomes like impenetrable. And it can just become, well, that's what I was always told, or that's what I always heard. And it can be on lots of different things about the character and nature of Jesus. But the interesting thing to me is when you read through Joshua 6, what actually caused the tumbling of the rock? It was the blowing, it was the sound, right? It was the sound of the shofar. When we receive a word of the Lord, whether it's a prophetic word, it's a word that someone's actually delivering a message, it's a word in God's word when we're reading the scripture, when that truth comes and we receive truth, I don't know how to, I have always seen it, but I don't know how if I can really articulate well. It comes and it's just, it's powerful than any, I don't know, missile or anything like that, but it's completely coded and it's insulated, is coated with the very glory of the Lord. So when we just come here and we're like, Lord, it's your truth, and that truth hits us, it causes a demolishing. Let me give you a testimony, and this actually comes from my mom. So I think my mom's watching this morning, so I'm just going to wave to my mom. My mom grew up in a very traditional church, and she actually went to church, I think, at least twice a week. Some of you maybe even went to church more than twice a week. I don't know, probably depending on what denomination you were. She was actually, one of the things that she was taught as a little girl is if she went in another church building, like the roof would collapse on her. And, you know, today we can look at that and think, oh, well, that's it. But, you know, when you're little, I mean, that is actually a tactic of religion, is they use fear. They use fear. So my mom ends up at this meeting. It's a Christian women's meeting. And she hears Jesus like she's never heard Jesus before. And the speaker is actually a prophetic speaker. She looked at my mom and she says, the Holy Spirit is going to set you free. And my mom was like, she's like, what? What does that even mean? You know, she's like, I don't, set me free from what? I don't live in a jail. You know, it's not like anything's on my wrists, on my legs. And so back up, my mom doesn't have a Bible. My mom at that point did not own a Bible. So she only knows what other adults have told her. She has never read the Bible, and she's 30 at this point. So she's leaving the meeting, and it happened to be here at the Elks building. She's leaving, and it's June, and the windows are rolled down, and she's like thinking about this word, this prophetic word, and like, what does that even mean? You know, the Holy Spirit's going to come and set me free. Like, what? And she said, like, she could read it, like this statement, like it was kind of like on a piece of paper, and she could read it, what it said. And she read it out loud. She's driving, and she read it loud out, and she goes, that's not true, and it would fly out the window. And like the next one came down and she could read it. She's like, that's not true either. And that one flew out the window. This went, so she lives up in the orchard. This went all the way until she got home. All these things that she had believed, the Lord just demolished because she heard a word of the Lord. The sound of the Lord brought freedom. And then for her, it was like that Jericho moment where that stronghold came home. And then actually, then she went to the library and she checked out a Bible. And she had her Bible for her first time. And of course, then later she ended up buying one. But she has always had a hunger for truth. And so I just release that testimony to each of you that you will hear the sound of the Lord. And the Lord will start bringing, demolishing those strongholds of thoughts, anything that tries to exalt itself to the actual true nature of Christ Jesus. And it can be that simple, like my mom. That's why I release a testimony. It doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out thing. If you're just like, Lord, I just want to know truth. I want to know truth. I want to be a lover of truth. That he can actually, okay, this is something you believe. And you're like, that's not true. And just, yeah, get that one out. Get that one out. Okay. Awesome. So I just want to move on. The other word I gave you was about grandmas and how grandmas are in relation, they are not, but they're in relation to elephants, and how the longevity of a herd of a tribe of elephants is actually based on the grandmas, because grandmas have the history of where are these watering holes that we need to go? Where, if we are thirsty, where do we need to go? Where do we need to go eat? And these grandmas actually lead the herd of the elephants because of the knowledge and the wisdom that they carry. And so, I want to bring that in because my spiritual grandma, she's back there. Love you, Anne. She prayed for this women's conference that we put on as a church. And one of the prophetic words that she gave for the conference was, she saw a monarch butterfly. And this is what it was, like a caterpillar transforming into a butterfly, transformation would be fresh and refreshing for the women that came. But I also want to highlight, because she actually used the word monarch. And so with the Lord, I was like, okay, Lord, the monarch here. So the definition of a monarch is actually a person who holds a position or power. A monarch exercises the highest authority and power. And this was interesting because this word was given last month where there was a whole transition of power in England. And if we, let me just highlight some things that I have seen. There has been a transition of power and authority and just a transitioning and repositioning. I just want to highlight the women. So Deanna faithfully has served this church body, beautifully, faithfully served. And the Lord has now called her and repositioning her. It's beautiful. Tiffany has faithfully served our church family in children's ministry, and the Lord is repositioning her. A couple Sundays ago, we honored Lori and Monica. Lori will be now, she's moving, she's going to be going helping her mama, and then Monica moved back to Pennsylvania. That same Sunday, Deandra was on worship team, and she, I don't know if you remember this, but she said, I feel like there needs to be some breakthrough. I think there needs to be someone lead us through breakthrough and for freedom, and with the flags. And wouldn't you know, who came forward were these incredible women with their flags, but they didn't come alone. They actually came with kids. Do you guys remember that? Those of you who are here, they came and they brought kids. So I just want you to start realizing, start looking. Okay, Lord, where are you repositioning? Where are you realigning? Where are you preparing a place for us? And I start asking, Lord, where are you preparing a place for me? In that, with the women's conference too, when I, that Saturday night, someone had asked me, well, how many women do you think are going to be baptized? And the church had some towels. The gal that was helping with baptism, Kathy, she brought some towels. And some of the women brought towels. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't really. I was not prepared. I mean, there was like probably 20 to 30 women that, like, the line just went on. And it became where we ran out of towels and we reused old towels. And I was just thinking about that with the Lord. I'm like, gosh, Lord, that was so incredible. It was so beautiful, so powerful. And so then he's like, hey, Jennifer, let's look at Luke 9:1. And so I turned to Luke 9:1 without knowing what it said. And so I think it's up there. And then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and cure diseases. And this is what he said to me. After I was like, oh, the women's conference was, and it was absolutely amazing. It was, wow. It was so, so amazing. And the Lord brought me to this, and he's like, so this is what he asked me. He goes, Jennifer, what are you doing with the power and authority I have given you? So, because he asked me, I am asking you. And listen, I'm going to just allow you a moment to ask the Lord. And then I'll tell you what I, so I'm just going to be quiet. You ask the Lord. So the Lord said he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to cure diseases. And the Lord wants to know, what are you doing with the power and the authority he has given you? So whatever came to your mind first, go with it. Don't overcomplicate hearing the voice of the Lord. So I'll just tell you what how it went down for me. I didn't even, this is funny, when he asked a question, I knew right away. I mean, I'm like totally honest. I'm like, Lord, I'm not doing much of anything. I'm not. And it was totally honest. I've learned as a little girl that honesty is the best, safest, the best place for me with the Lord. I do not try to justify anything. Can I just tell you, I will just share this with you, and I think this is because it brought me along my journey. The first prophetic word I ever received, I was in a meeting with a bunch of women with my mom. I was probably like sixth grade or something like that, and she was also a very prophetic woman. She looked at me, oh my gosh, I'm just like this, I don't know, 12, 13, and she looked at me, she goes, huh, you're really honest with the Lord, and you have tantrums with the Lord. Like, you just tell the Lord how it is. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm just sitting, and you know, my mom's friends are like, hee, 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 Jennifer, hee. And then she also said, she goes, oh, you know what? You don't have a religious spirit. And that has actually really freed me. Because when I go before the Lord, I am, Lord, I'm not trying to be something, somebody I'm not. So when the Lord asked me that question, hey, Jennifer, what are you doing? I was completely honest. I am not doing much of anything. So did anybody else respond that way? Anybody else? I don't know. Nobody else wants to even, I don't know who I'm in company with. So just, okay, thank you. Thank you, those of you. So I'm in company with you. I'm in company because that is something the Lord asked me. And I assume that if he was asking me, it's because he's like, Jennifer, I have something more for you. I have more and I have more and I have more. Don't settle. Yes, that women's conference was, it went beyond your wildest dreams, but don't just build an altar there. Like, this is it. And I was like, okay, Lord. So I just thank you because I want to know who am I in company with because I want to make sure we encourage each other. Like, I would rather be known, and it really scares me, I'd rather be known, hey, Jennifer at least tried, took a risk, than just play it safe and did nothing. So that means, actually, that means putting myself out there. And for me, that's really uncomfortable. So when I listen to Michael, there's something very freeing when you go to a foreign country, you know, and you're just different and they kind of expect you. And I've done my mission trips. I've done them. And it is really powerful. And I would highly suggest all of you take a mission trip. But there's something else when the Lord says, hey, this is your ground. This is your territory. This is where I've given you. So are you expanding the kingdom of God with a demonstration of my power and authority? And I just sit there and I'm like, no, but my heart is a yes. Just like, do we have a yes in our heart? Do we have a yes in our heart? Yes, I'm scared. Yes, I know it's going to be uncomfortable. And yes, I probably will. It won't always look great, neat little package. It might not always sound right. But is there a yes in our heart to move forward in all that God has for us? And the last thing I want to leave you with is he brought me to the middle of Luke 18. And it happened, oh, I'm sorry, Luke 9, 18 through 20. Okay. And it happened as he was alone praying that the disciples joined him and he asked them saying, who do the crowds say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say that of one of the old prophets has risen. This is interesting because they're actually sharing secondhand. So nobody, and that's what Jesus asks, you know, what are people saying about me? And they're just sharing secondhand what they've heard other people say. But interesting, he looks at them and he said to them, but who do you say I am? So as I leave you this summer for a little while, I leave you with the question the Lord asked. But who do you say I am? What are your encounters with Jesus? What is your revelation? Not something I have shared, not something Jeff has shared, or Josh has shared, or Mike has shared, or something you've read from a book. But what can you actually say? Who is Jesus? And when we think about expanding the kingdom of God, and when we think about possessing our promised land, it will always be about sons and daughters. It will always be about how large can we make the family of God. And it's the Jesus that we know that we reveal to others. I've asked Josh to kind of help me transition a little bit, but I do want to pray. So can you just put your hand over your heart? So, Lord Jesus, as you ask us this question, but who do you say I am? Lord, your word promises that the hungry are filled. And Lord, I'm just asking for each heart, for such a hunger to know the beauty and the majesty, the splendor of Jesus Christ. That we are a people awestruck, that stay in wonder, that are captivated by who you are. Lord, that there's always more. There will always be more of you to discover.
If any of you have ever taken a vacation before, you realize you may have some packing that you need to do. It's sort of like a place of decision. You know, if you're going to actually leave home, you're going to have to pack up the stuff and you're going to have to go. I feel like this morning, that's the word that we've received from Jennifer, is we're in a place where we're going to have to make some choices. We're going to have to make a decision. So the invitation for you to read the book of Joshua isn't just a cool summer library challenge from Jennifer. It's actually a doorway to encounter the Lord honestly, with integrity and with maybe some words. That you are going to choose Jesus. We sang, I'm not good at remembering lyrics, but I did make sure I Googled this. We sang this song. It says, shake up the ground of all my tradition. Break down the walls of all my tradition. Your way is better. It's just about you and the Lord. I had a buddy, it was like, gosh, I don't remember how long ago this was, but it was probably like 8 or 9 years ago when we were at Hope Chapel. And he got up, I don't have a jacket to throw down, but he threw down this jacket in front of us. And what he said was that we were going to have to cross the line, and his jacket was the line. And so we all stood up. It was such a fun moment, and we all took a turn stepping over that threshold, stepping over and saying, yes, I choose you. And so this morning, this came back to me, this experience that I had. So can we stand to our feet really quick? decision requires the first step. We're not sure what it looks like quite yet, but we're willing to take the first step. So if you need to take a step backwards for a minute, just to give yourself enough room to take a tiny step forward, or if you need to step out into an aisleway, you're welcome to do it. Or if you want to come to the front, you can do that too. Whatever that looks like. But I want to encourage you this morning that this is a moment for you to seize between you and the Lord. That we're going to take a step forward. And it doesn't have to look pretty. It doesn't have to look like perfect. It just looks like you taking a step forward. So if that resonates with you this morning, if you're like, yes, I want to take that first step forward. I want to seize. Maybe it looks like a little unknown and you're not sure what we're actually doing right now. But you're like, yeah, you know what? I do need to take a step forward. I encourage you right now. If you feel like that, yes, that's what I want to do. Just take a step forward now. It seems so simple, but it's a big deal. So, Lord, we thank you. The first thing we do after we take a step forward is just to begin to give him thanks because he'll meet you. Everywhere you put your feet, I've given it to you. I was reminded this morning, this passage that talked about, and I'll read this to you. It's Exodus 23, verse 28. And he said, I will send the hornets, which are angels, before you, and they will drive out your enemies before you. I will not drive them out before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. I love this statement. Little by little, I will drive them out before you until you have increased to inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the river. I'm skipping through a few of the things. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you actually send angelic help when it's not in our strength or in our power. We actually see the goodness of the Lord and that you actually move on our behalf. So, Lord, we thank you. We seize this moment. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, this week, that you would allow us to connect honestly with you and say, yes, I'm taking the next step forward. Let's do this again tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. So God, we thank you. You are so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, dang it, we love you guys. Why don't you give somebody a hug or high five before you head out? Maybe you need to grab some lunch with somebody and connect. Have an amazing week, and we will catch you next week.